message is Balaam, a self-willed individual, And sometimes what we have to realize in life, as I was talking Wednesday night about that, we do what we want to do. God can tell us what to do, but we have that God allowed us that space to be free moral agents or whatever. That, but there's truly no freedom of the will. There's no freedom of the will. There's no such thing as free will, because you're either in bondage to God, you're in bondage to Satan. All your life you've been children of Satan under his bondage. Unless God comes in and free you up by his Spirit and give you that power and authority to become sons of God, you'll continue to act in such a way as doing what you want to do, doing that which benefits you, living a life the way you want to live. Even though you know what God's word says, you still go handle life the way you want to do. And when God's will and your will collide, it's normally your way that you go do it. You use God's word to justify doing things your way. You're not listening at God. Balaam, here we see, is a man that through the Eastern culture and all that, if we've read and studied, and we've talked about Balaam several times, that Balaam seemed to be a prophet that God spoke with, and he did things, but it was probably according to, in that culture back then, that we see that what happened was he was a false prophet. He wasn't true, just like it's many a false prophet out there today. There are many a false people out there today that's preaching and teaching, and there are many a people in the church that are hearing God's word that are self-willed. Their will haven't ever been broken. God hadn't ever came into their lives to where they completely surrendered to God and was fully committed to God. And so what happens is, when that happens, is it's like the seed sown, the sower that sowed the seed. In other words, they get in church and they can be in church for years and things at a time. They know what God's word says, and a lot of them act upon God's word a lot of time. A lot of them are professing Christians, but they're not rooted and grounded in God's word to where it would take hold in their lives and rule their lives. Their will continues to rule their lives. What they want, what they desire, their self-will. The text comes from the book of Numbers this morning. Numbers. I'll read that complete text so we can get a kind of bearing on what's going on here. Then the people of Israel traveled to the plains of Moab and camped east of the Jordan River across from Jericho. Balak, son of Zippor, the Moabite king, had been seeing everything the Israelites did to the Amorites. And when the people of Moab saw how many Israelites there were, they were terrified. The king of Moab said to the elders of Midian, "This mob will devour everything in sight like an ox devours grass in the field." So Balak, king of Moab, sent messengers to call Balaam, son of Beor, who was living in his native land of Petor, near the Euphrates rivers. His message says, "Look, a vast horde of people has arrived from Egypt. They cover the face of the earth and are threatening me. Please come and curse these people for me, because they are too powerful for me. Then perhaps I will be able to conquer them and drive them from the land. I know that the blessings that fall on any people are those that you curse is cursed, and those people are cursed." Balaam's messenger, who were elders of Moab and Midian, sent out with money to pay Balaam to place a curse upon Israel. They went to Balaam and delivered Balak's message to him, saying, "Stay here overnight." They went to Balaam and delivered Balak's message to him. So Balaam said, "Stay overnight. I will tell you whatever the Lord directs me to say." So the officials from Moab stayed there with Balaam. That night, God came to Balaam. God came to Balaam and asked him, "Who are these men visiting you?" Balaam said to God, Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent me this message. Look at a vast horde of people that has arrived over the face of Egypt, and they cover the first face of the earth. Come and curse these people for me. Then perhaps I will be able to stand up to them and drive them from the land. But God told Balaam, do not go with these people. Do not go with them. You are not to curse these people, for they have been blessed. The next morning, Balaam got up and told Balak's officials, go on home. The Lord will not let me go with you. So the Moabite officials returned to King Balak and reported. Balaam refused to come with us. Then Balaam tried again. This time he sent a larger number of even more distinguished officials than those he had sent the first time. And they went to Balaam and delivered this message. This is what Balaam, son of Zippor, says. Please don't let anything stop you from coming to help me. I will pay you very well and do whatever you tell me. Just come and curse these people for me. But Balaam responded to Balak's message. Even if Balak was to give me his palace filled with silver and gold, I would be powerless to do anything against the will of the Lord my God. I think that's key, the reason I read it in the Living Bible, because it says, I will be powerless to do anything against these people. Remind me, I want to come back and read that 18th verse again in the King James Version. I'm trying to keep all my notes in order here. But he says, but stay here with me one more night, and I will see if the Lord has anything else to say to me. That night, God came to Balaam and told him, since these men have, so he went back and asked God, and God said that night, he says, since these men have come to you, get you up with them, but let me not read that version there. In that, I want to go back to the King James Version here, verse 20. And God came to Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come call them, thee, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I say unto thee, that shalt thou do. Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and the two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyard, a wall being on his side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself out unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went farther and stood in a narrow place, where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left hand. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with the staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, why have I done unto thee that thou smitest me these three times? Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there was a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am I not thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do unto thee as thou say? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with the sword drawn, and he fell and bowed down his head flat to the face of the ground. You know, sometimes the Lord has to go through a whole lot to get our attention. A whole lot he has to go through to get our attention. Nice early. I hope y'all don't go to sleep on me before I start good. He says, if Balak would give me, the 18th verse I said I was going to come back to, he says, if Balak would give me his house full of silver, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God. He says he can't do more than God wants him to do. The thing is, it's a lot of people in the church, they realize God's word is all powerful, but they don't like God's word. They don't like God's people. They don't like the things of God. That's how Balaam was. It's a lot of people that go to church, they go because they feel it's a necessity for them to live, and a lot of people in the church, it's a way to get money, to get things, to get stuff in life. And that's where a lot of the prosperity gospel and things come from, is that they're not doing or serving God because they love God or his ways or his people. They're doing it for out of self-pleasure. That's why we was doing, when I read the opening scripture this morning, I read in there where it says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful, proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. And they will not consider nothing sacred, not even the table of the Lord, because Jude says these same people eat of the table of the Lord. There are spots in your love feast. And that's why a lot of people are sick. That's why a lot of people are dying, because they don't regard anything as being sacred. The church is no longer sacred. They come right in the church and lie. And the Bible says in Colossians, lie not to one another. Why come in to a saint of God? Why, if you're starting a new life, do you hem-haw around and lie about things or whatever? At least if you're getting a new start, you should tell the truth in church. You should start telling the truth wherever you are. If you didn't ran into a bump or something, let God know. Let the people of God know. Confess. But see, you self-will, you're stubborn. I told you Wednesday night, that's bullheadedness. That's prideful. That's of the flesh that don't want it. You don't want to seem vulnerable, that you're proud. And it's the pride of life to keep you from humbling yourself and say, I'm a failure. I haven't done what I'm supposed to do. And I'm not able to do what I'm saying. The only way you can take of this worthily, it says a lot of people are taking it unworthily. The take of it worthily means to submit yourself and say you're not able to accomplish or do what you're supposed to do. And the only way I can do it is through Jesus Christ. It's through God and with his help, his son enabling me by the Spirit. I don't know. I took note of something he said in that prayer this morning. You know, and as a preacher, you kind of focus in on everything. I mean, he that is spiritual judges everything. And see, a lot of times we say things, and we don't know that it's God speaking through us. And see, Balaam, he spoke the word of God, those prophecies and everything, but his heart wasn't in it. He said he had to speak the word of God, but he didn't realize that God giveth us power to speak. When Caiaphas, the high priest, said what he said about Jesus, he didn't realize in condemning, he had condemned what he didn't realize by saying it must be necessary that one of us die for the sins of the whole nation. God had put that in the mouth. God gives us power to speak. If we say anything, it's by God's power. When he was praying this morning, he said that the word that God would cut off from among us, those that shouldn't be among the church. Do you know that's what God is doing in the last days? He's judging between sheep and goat. He's judging between sheep and sheep. He said he was going to fight against the church, that the judgment starts at the house of God. So if pressure's coming on you, if things are not going the way, you need to do like Job and stop and examine yourself. That's why Paul says, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. See, in Job's examination of himself, he knew he hadn't did anything out of the ordinary. When they was accusing him of why he was losing his wealth and all these things, Job knew he was one that provided and that he tied it to God, that he provided for the widows, that he gave people. See, have you examined your life as why is something happened to you? Are you lined up with God's word? Because if you're not lined up with God's word, maybe God's just like that dumbass trying to speak to you through other things, because when you won't listen at the preacher, when you won't listen at what God says, God talks to you through nature. He talks to you through all kinds of things. He says creation have told you that there was a God. Sometime when it's you wall in on this side and wall in on that side and look like your world's coming apart, it is God shaking the foundation to draw you to Him. Now, like I said, let's see, can we find God in all this? The way is God here? Because we open up with Proverbs. Proverbs, the 17th chapter, the 16th verse, says, "Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he had no heart to it? A friend loveth it at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Balaam wanted the money. He wanted the ability to get the price. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. He loved quick money. He loved it, money. And that's what he fought for, the wages of money. God had told him not to go. But it says, but his heart's not in it. See, he wasn't going to fight for Balaam. He didn't care about Balaam. He didn't care about Israel. He only cared about self. He was what you would call a hireling. There are many hireling in the church of God. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They would witness for God if it only profited them something. And the doctrine of Balaam, we know that the doctrine of Balaam has truth mixed with error. The truth that Balaam spoke, God had given it to Balaam to speak. But there are preachers preaching right today. There are preachers in this day and time that are preaching for reasons other than the salvation of your soul, other than you turning loose and turning from your sin. There are preachers that, just like Balaam's children, there are more Balaam's children in the church than there are God's children. Yes. That's why in Revelation we see that he said you have those there that hold the doctrine of Balaam. See, Balaam is those that love the wages of unrighteousness. Balaam is those that walk after their own lust. We know that there are a lot of things that could be accomplished by those that God allows us to do. You know, sometimes God permits that. That is not what he wants us to do. He permits us to do things, or he allows us to do things that he is against. See, that's where when people, those that are self-willed, say that they are free moral agent. In other words, you have a choice to do wrong. You have a choice to go to hell if you want. It's your body. You do what you want to do. But you still go to heaven. That's Gnostics, Gnosticism. Where that they thought that the body, you can do what you want to do with the body, but the spirit is what serves God. That's why you hear John and Peter talk about Gnosticism. These people are a cancer to the body of Christ. They have to be cut out. Because if you look at it, what Paul was preaching to them, Paul said, your body is not your own body. You can't do what you want to do with your body. Your body is meant for the Lord. It's the temple of the Lord. That's why you see nowadays a lot of people, and it's cheaper to go that way, they say you could just create my body, cremate my body, you can destroy this body. That's not the way God pictured the body. That's why we have burial rituals or whatever. It is important about that body. That body is what's going to be changed into an incorruptible body, but your body is important. Don't let these people, this New Age movement about the body is just a container and that you can do whatever you want with the body and destroying the body. And you notice that people, like I told you a couple of weeks ago, they're marking their bodies with tattoos and piercings and all these other things. be careful. The body is the temple of the Lord, whose temple you are, if you are of God. Like I said, this is infiltrating all types of religion, this Balaamism. The second point is, you see that Balaam was a lot of us today, that he called himself a man of prayer. That each time when they did this, they prayed. He prayed. But, you know, God tells us about asking things of him that he's already answered. When God gives you an answer, you think you're going to change God's mind? You think God didn't know why he was answering you the first time? A lot of people, like I say, talk to hear themselves talking. And then they'll tell me about the inopportune widow or whatever that went to the judge and kept pleading with the judge, judge, do something, judge, do something. And they keep on praying for and saying this about repetitive prayer. Well, that is a good example. That is a good example, but you don't know and understand the word of God. We notice that Moses crossed God. And when Moses crossed God, God says, Moses, you're not going into the promised land. Because you violated my word. That's what's more powerful, is God's word. See, sometimes we don't realize the magnitude of what we do when we celebrate holidays and different things. Oh, it's just a holiday. It's the day of Jesus' birth and all that. Do the scripture say that? You don't know what you're doing in the word of God when you do that. Maybe that's the reason for your fall. Maybe that's the reason you're in the fix you're in today, is because other religions and Christianity have given you Balaam. And see, that's a festival that you shouldn't be involved in. But that's Balaamism. That's the doctrine of the ways of Balaam that's introducing these things that God hadn't introduced. And Moses, after Moses prayed to God several times about that, God had to tell him, look, Moses, don't ask me about this anymore. You can get up to the mountain, I'll let you see, but you're not going. You know, a lot of people could die here. They could die right here on this earth. Get used to it. You're not going in. This is it. This is the last row for you. Nah. See, Balaam, he was talking with God, but his actions caused him not to be able to go in. Paul had a infirmity of the flesh. He had a thorn in the flesh that God had given him. The Bible tells him God had given him that thorn in the flesh. But because of Paul's character, something about Paul, God had given that to him. Whatever affliction, whatever is up on you, God gave you that for a purpose, and you could go on and do the will of God and accomplish that with God with you. And Paul prayed to him, and then Paul, God says, isn't my grace sufficient for you, Paul?
Yes.
Isn't my grace sufficient? You didn't hear Paul praying about that anymore. See, if God had placed something upon you, allowed something you to be in such a fashion, that's what God wanted. That's what he desired. As the man that was born blind, you remember they said, well, what sin him or his parents? They said, well, no, that was to glorify God. So every soul is God. God knows your condition. He knows where you're at. He didn't say not to pray or not to ask for it. But then when God answers you, take your answer and go.
Amen.
Listen at what God, you're not going to wear God down. God can't be worn down. Now that self-will, like Samson was self-will and kept asking and asking, and he married the woman that he shouldn't have married. His parents told him to marry somebody else. But the woman he got, he was sorry he married her. It caused Samson's downfall. You know, sometimes, like I say, it's lawful to have a wife, but it might be that you need the right wife. It's lawful to have things. It's lawful to drink. But it may not be expedient for you to drink. There may be a problem with that. We need to talk with God. Look at verse 8. It says, stay here overnight, Balaam said. In the morning I will tell you whatever the Lord says for me to tell you. So the official stayed that night. Here's the answer. Verse 9. That night God came to Balaam and asked him out, who is these men? Well, God knew who they were. God's, you know, a lot of people tell you about the police. The police ask you questions they know the answer to. God knew who they was. A lot of time, God wants you to realize who you're dealing with, who you're associating with. Do you know who you're associating with? Well, he knew the type people he was associating with. Didn't he? That's why he asked Adam, why art thou, Adam? Not that Adam was lost to God. He knew where Adam was. It's that Adam had to confess then, you know, I've done something you told me not to do. A lot of time God wants you to confess your sin, confess your wrong, confess your faults and your shortcomings. And God came and says, look, I didn't bless these people. God told you, don't go with them. If God say don't do something, please don't do what God tell you not to do. But the men came back with more money. They sent more for more distinguished people for the money, with the money. Balaam realized, though, but he came and prayed to God again about this. Look, God, the lottery didn't got to be $1 billion. It was a half million, but it's a billion now. Can I play the lottery? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, sure. Go buy you a whole lot of lottery tickets.
Yeah.
Go buy. God, this is the right woman. And God had told you no, so now you didn't marry them. Now you didn't got yourself in a fix you can't got, get out of. See, in life, you take the wrong job. You take the wrong house. Anything that's wrong, it says all things are lawful. It's lawful to play the lottery. It's lawful to marry. But all things are not expedient, Paul says. You know, it's lawful for me to have cable television. But I had to make a sacrifice and get rid of it because I couldn't serve God properly and serve cable television because it was require me to give that to the cable vision people that which God's house needed. Yeah. The house of God should come first. The things of God should come first. I was thinking about that the other day. That's why I was saying the blessings of God be with you, sister. Because God's people are sacrificed for God, but Balaam only people that do these things that only think of themselves and their pleasure and what they want. If you notice that he was about to kill that donkey who had been faithful to him. You get in a person's way, you speak against their vice. In other words, you speak against them drinking, you speak against them running women, you speak against whatever they're doing, they'll kill you about it. You speak against something that they love to do, and they don't want to give up. They'll leave that church. They'll leave you. If they love it enough because that's their God. They will fight for that God. He was willing to kill that ass he had been riding on all those years who had never done him anything that saw God and was trying to stop them. A lot of times our parents, our relatives and things try to stop us from marrying certain people. Try to stop us from getting committed to certain things we're doing. From stealing or lying or whatever. But until you get in jail and they say, well, I should have listened to you. Yeah, you should have listened. But it's too late now. It's a lot of people that play the stock market that shouldn't play the stock market. But it's too late now. You know, the consequences are there. After you done got old and can't do nothing, you don't want to creep in there and say, God, I'm sorry. Okay, he's sorry that he's glad that you're sorry or whatever, but they go put you in that box and six strong men go carry you out and put you in that dirt and go pack it over your face. See, because the wages of sin is death. Yes. But God told Balaam, go ahead on and go, didn't he? People say, why would God get mad because you do something he tell you to do, that he's been told you to do these things? Now let's read that one more time. The 22nd chapter of Balaam, of Numbers, the 21st verse, the 20th verse. And God came unto Balaam at night while he was praying and said unto him, if the men come to thee, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up early in the morning and sat his ass and went with the princess. Now, it's a lot of back and forth between scholars and preachers and everything, because God had told Balaam, if the men come back, you could go with them. In the very next verse, it says, Balaam sat his ass and went with the people. Now, in Jewish writing, a lot of times they'll write things and they don't explain it. They'll come back and go into detail later. And so we just receiving this way. So the men were already there. They were living with Balaam that night. They stayed that night. So they wasn't necessarily going to check out and just leave, probably. So Balaam got up that morning and went with them. But notice that nowhere in there did the men come into him and say, well, what did God say? Balaam just got up and went. You know, a lot of time when we want to do something, we just go it on and do it. You just go it on and you got the ability, you got the word tools to do it. You just go it on and do it. And God told you not to. He said, if they come back. And they didn't come back. You wanted to do that. That you self-will. See, you driven to satisfy self. You know, a lot of people with those hotlines, and they put them hotlines and things because they said that that's an addiction. It's in the mind. There's a dopamine in there. That adrenaline get rushed. It's like shooting them dice. You know, that's where it comes from. That's the actual act of shooting the dice. Rolling the dice. Playing Russian roulette. What is it? Roulette wheels or poker or whatever it is. It's just the idea of the action of it. It's a lot of people right now. And I tell people, don't sit up in your house and you know that shopping channel? Those people have gotten rich off that. They sit in there and they order all kinds of stuff. They're addicted to watching those shows. Yes. Yes. They're addicted. They can't. Oprah Winfrey, I got to watch Oprah Winfrey. There's an addiction to it. See, the body comes addicted, as Robert Palmer used to say. There are some people addicted to love. They're addicted to sex. They just got to have it. Addiction is not good because it shows a lack of restraint or ability to control yourself. It's nothing wrong with eating. Eating is lawful. But does God put in the Bible that gluttony is a sin? You're eating all the time. There's a sin there. Because you have to learn to control or moderate these things. See, when those things have control of you, when those things start to affect your serving of God, then that virtue have turned to vice. That necessity have turned to a vice. That's a weight of sin that's besetting you from running this race. Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen. But God turned him over. Why? Because he came to him, asked him something that God had already answered, and says, whom I've blessed, I've blessed. You cannot curse, and you shouldn't curse. Yes. You asking me to do something that I told you was my word, that I gave you my word. But he allowed him to go. That's turning you over to a reprobate mind. Since you got that drink you wanted, since you got that woman you wanted, that car you wanted, you know, a lot of people go through all kinds of things trying to finance a vehicle or a home or something that they can't afford. But instead of saying, okay, God's putting up a wall here. You know, you got those that are coming to you and show you ways to improvise and that you can get around that. And in the midst of that, you're ruling God out. You don't put on there that you won't be able to pay tithes and offerings, that you don't put on there on that application that you won't be able to come to church, that you can forsake your assembling this together yourself because now you're working two or three jobs and you can't come to church. That you don't have time at home to study and time at home to pray and time at home. You know, you have to be at home for your family at times. You have to have time for with your wife and children if you have children. You have to have all that time. You see, but you get entangled in the things of this world. That's what happened with Demas. He got entangled with this world. He had left Paul the preaching for the present world. Yes. See, Balaam knew the word of God. God worked in his life on a a skin level. In other words, there was some level of God working in his life. And there may be many a preacher, there may be many a people that God is manifesting in their lives, but it's not rooted in their life because of self. Self-will is there, and they so high-minded that they may go tell people how religious they are because they're prideful, and they think it's because of them. I'm a Christian. I'm somebody. You ain't nobody. You need to listen at me. You need to look at my life because God's working with me, and I'm that example. They so messed up, they so backwards that you wouldn't want to get close to them. That's why I tell you, evil association. So he said, do you know the people you're getting hooked up with? You know, when you get married to somebody, you marry that person's whole family. That'll drag you down. That'll drag you down. Well, Balaam, verse 15 and 17. So when God told Balak he can go back, that he can go with them, because what was in Balak's heart? Was it the word of God and what God had said? No, he loved the wages of righteousness. 15 and 7 through 17 says, these men came with more popular men. You know, some people, I'm a backroads preacher to them. See, to everybody else, Jesus was just itinerant preachers. There were other preachers during those days. So who are you to go against these famous preachers? During the time of Noah, that's why it said there were men, giant men and men of renown or whatever. Yes. So if T.D. Jakes or Joel Osteen, Benny Hinn or somebody said, who is some other preacher to say something against what these preachers are saying? They're on television. They got mega audiences or whatever. Yeah. You see, therein lies the trap. You know, you can go to Broadway. The Broadway, many go in that way. But you see, what Satan came to Jesus and he says, if you bow down and worship me, in other words, if you would use this doctrine, if you would preach this thing, in other words, if you would place a little leaven in your doctrine, a little leaven, that little leaven leavens the whole lump. So the blind's leading the blind. But because that person is popular, because that person has audience, and that's what the world loves, is somebody that's popular. They love what's popular, what's hit, what's it, what's bling, what's going to get money, what's there for them. It's self-centeredness. It's not God. It's not self-sacrificing. Look through the Bible and see how many preachers was extremely wealthy, or did they die almost in poverty? Look how Jesus died. Jesus was dependent on the giving of mostly women that were giving to Jesus. It was an itinerant preacher. See, because God's word is what's necessary. That's your necessary food, God's word, and doing God's word. Balaam was a hireling. A hireling's going to flee at the first sign of trouble. A hireling's not going to stand by your side. He's not going to die for the sheep. That's why I said the other night when I came, I had to leave Sister Jackson behind, because Sister Jackson's my wife and everything, but she was having problems with her sugar or whatever, but that was her problem. That I had to do what I was supposed to do. I told her, I said, honey, I'll go on the church tonight. I need to preach and teach tonight. Because it said, if you love me, feed my sheep. Placed her in God's hands. She's here this morning. She's here this morning. See, I know what my responsibilities is, and I'm trying to get things leveled out. And I didn't want to seem snappy, but Deacon Hubbard came to me and he said, well, I was just trying to get you home to see about your wife. I know about my wife, but, you know, like he had to rebuke Peter and say, get behind me. But this is more important. I know my wife's there. You worry about your wife. I got my wife under control. God's got it under control. If I need to talk to the flock, I need to nourish the lamb. God can handle that.
Yes.
You see, we got to put what's important. And a lot of us, our wives are our problems. A lot of us, our jobs are our problems. A lot of us, our finances are our problems. You know, a lot of us, the way we spend and use our time is our problem. Our miles are our problems.
Yeah.
And so many people nowadays got so many problems, and I hear so many problems that they problems got problems. I don't want to get tied up in people's problems like that. I want to preach the word of God, because he'll be the burden bearer. If you have a problem, lay it on him. But if you're not committed to him, that's the reason you can't go pray to God. It's because you know there's something back there that God may not answer. But when you pray to God, you expect him to answer.
Amen.
If you don't expect God to answer your prayer, it's no use praying to him.
No.
You're praying without faith. Now, he's a right now God, when he's going to be Johnny on the spot for you.
Praise God.
He hears you and he knows you're his son. But Balaam here, he went and he introduced sexual immorality into the people. He says, God won't allow me to curse them. But I tell you what you do. You go in and let them see them Moabites, the Midianites. Them some good looking women. You know, thousands died because they intermarried. They had sexual relations with these women. This is a time in a day of sexual promiscuity. You know, it's a lot of people worried about a lot of other people's problems, and I can't speak. I won't speak on it publicly or loud or something, but I need to tell you something before the day opens. Yes. See, because the thing is, he told us to flee, abstain from sexual immorality. Plus, he says this food offered to idols. In other words, when he said Balaam introduced food offered to idols, in other words, fellowship. Fellowship. Worshiping with others, in other words. I told Brother Dick that at one time. I said, okay, all this is fine and dandy, but you're eating at all these church get-togethers and all these places. Before you know it, you're going to turn your back on God. Before you turn your... See, eating with a person is a sign of fellowship. There's no more closer an intimate relation other than the marital relation and eating together, a meal together, having a meal together. So that's symbolic of breaking bread or partaking of the word. It's not good to compromise and tolerate other churches or other doctrine. And if somebody asks you to go to their church or somebody, there must be a weak plan if they keep asking you, because, see, Balaam, he inspired this. Because if he'd have told them right, he says, God won't allow me to go curse. But he should have told them, I'm not doing it, and that's it. They wouldn't have asked him a second time. You know, most of my relatives or people don't come to me with all that foolishness about their churches and Christmas, all these other things. My answer was my answer. Don't try to wear me down. No, ask me no more. I told you. If somebody keep asking you the same thing over and over, apparently they think they can get to you. But if your no is no and your yay is yay, you don't have those problems. I don't have problems with my children like that. I don't have those kind of problems. See, because if you're walking in God's word with that authority, the Pharisees didn't bother Jesus. Jesus bothered the Pharisees.
Yes.
Because he spoke God's word with authority. He had his focus on God. And just like Balak and all these other people with their focus on you, the reason their focus is on you because they can't do anything to God. You know, Balak, he didn't have good sense anyhow. See, you know, the people that's bringing you down, if they would resort to helping and lift you up, you know, it would be better for them. Because if God had blessed me, it's nothing you can do against me.
Yeah.
All that hooking and crooking you're doing is just dragging you down. What Balak did, he didn't realize God had already told Moses. He said, Moses, when you go in that way, don't set foot on Moab's or Ammon land, because those your kinfolks, I'm not going to let you have their land. So what he was worried about, God had already taken care of. God had already taken care of, had told them that they couldn't even go over there and ask for a glass of water.
Praise God.
See, God has this thing fixed. And if you're not in on a fix, you will operate against God, because God say you are my friends, and he's going to tell his friends what he's doing. God's telling us what he's doing, so that's why we could sleep at night.
Yeah.
I slept like a baby. didn't really want to crawl out of bed this morning. But there are problems. There are different things that's going on. But when I close my eyes at night, when I go to bed at night, those are God's problems. Whatever I do, I'm placing it up on God. But God then given us over to that we keep asking to do. And now we so messed up, we don't know how to get out. And you know what we're mad about? It's because people we know or whatever, different people, don't help us out. Now you're mad at everybody else around you. But you know what? God may be telling everybody else around you, hey, I'm whipping him. Don't you interfere. You will get a lick. You know, when God's beating on somebody, you go there, you will get a lick too. You ever seen somebody fighting or going on and you intervening, you get hurt. You get hurt. If God's putting that whipping in on them, you say back. And I tell my wife a lot of times, you know, my children going through this or this one's going through that. I say, yeah, God got a hold to him. I understand what my daddy used to be telling me. Now Papa Rock, he'd say, well, God got a hold to him. When God get hold to you, he will beat you till you say uncle. Or like I say, them men will pack you out of here. They'll pack you out of here. I can't help but do this. Okay, they'll pack you out of here. They'll pack you out of here. I told one of my brothers, they said, I can't stop eating this. I said, they'll pack you away from here. They'll come in and pack you out of here. What you can't do, you must die to self. You should have to say, well, look, I'm going to do this, and I'll die trying. Now you got God on your side because you ain't trying to save your life. You didn't turn your life over so God can save you. Yes. That's the only way. You can't save you. If you lose your life, then God can help you out. He'll give you eternal life. But I don't live this way. I don't enjoy my life. No, you ain't. You're going to struggle. You're going to be like Balaam trying to put ends together. He got the money, didn't he? He got a pocket full of money. All this money. And he saw what God says. You know, when he went and prophesied. See, the focus ain't on all Balaam on that. It's just on Balaam's self-willedness today. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. About receiving what you want to receive. You remember I said, be careful what you ask for. You fool around there and get what you ask for and won't know how to handle what you got. Be careful what you're asking for. Judgment came to Balaam for what he was asking for. Look at Joshua, the 13th chapter, in the 22nd verse. When God went fighting, Joshua's people were fighting many a night, the Midianites. And he says, look, while fighting those Midianites, Balaam is over there. You go get Balaam right now. You put the sword on Balaam. You kill him right there where he at. You kill Balaam because Balaam did something a few years back that I told him. He got money. He got a plenty of money. He got a nice spread over there where he live at. That's what he did with all the money. Kill him right there. What happens for when you receive that which you labor for? You building bigger bonds. I can't come, Pastor. I can't come to church. I'm in the midst of building this big bond. Okay, build that bond, man. Get it up there. You know, I'm not going to struggle against you. You're out there struggling and trying to get somewhere. It's all this stuff I got to take care of. And all you get those bonds built, get all that stuff, and then God says, okay, you got those bonds built and everything. You know, the night I want your soul. Your soul is required of you. Now who will have all that stuff? Who will have all that stuff that you labored for? That stuff's the rot. It's moth-eating. That stuff, you didn't come here with anything. You're not leaving here with anything. You might give it to a fool. Yes. You know, it's a lot of properties. If you would go around in the city, you would see a lot of land sitting vacant, houses dying, you know, just falling in or whatever. Because a fool had inherited that son, and he wasn't sense. He didn't have good sense. He let the place go in disrepair. He sold. A lot of them just sell their parents' stuff that the parents give them. They leave inheritance to them, and they sell it off. They get rid of it. And they don't have anything. Just look throughout this city. How many? Little Cyrus preached a sermon about that. We're no better than our fathers. Our fathers left us homes, left us vehicles, left us all kinds of money and stuff. We don't even have any of that to show. We so buying up. We supposed to be progressing, but yet we retrogressing. You ain't getting nowhere. You're not like Naboth. Naboth said, I can't sell you my father's inheritance. God forbid that. You got to know what God forbid. God said, I can't do it. And anything that come up against me. Now, Jezebel and Naboth, see, Ahab had a wicked wife, and he was a weak man. And he said, take that vineyard. I'll take that vineyard from it. But see, Naboth had a redeemer. And it was required in Ahab and Jezebel's hand. You might have killed him, but I'm taking up his slack here. The dogs go eat Jezebel. The dogs go eat her. And Ahab died from an arrow. Shot just looked like it was at a venture. The guy just shot the arrow in the air and it landed up on Ahab. See, Abel stood for God. Cain rose up and killed Abel because he was unrighteous. The unrighteous, they'll murder you with their words. They'll go back and slander you. Right now, there's people that are slandering God's preachers. But God's preachers are steady praying for them. Those that do good, they say this generation will be unthankful. They'll be unloving. They'll be ungrateful. You're not grateful what someone did for you because, you know, most, this is a characteristic of an ungrateful person. You do fun, you do fun. You do fun, you don't do fun, you the worst scum on earth.
Yeah.
That's being ungrateful. When you tell them I can't do no more, I done all I can do. If the message is right, but the preacher's heart's not right, that's a difference. Balaam's message was right. He went and carried him the right message. You know, he prophesied that Jesus came. His prophecy was that of seeing the second coming of Jesus. All that was God's word. See, I tell you, Jonah was another prophet that preached but didn't care about the people. Jonah was disappointed because God saved the Ninevites. Jonah preached, yet 40 days and Nineveh would be destroyed. Now that's one of the worst sermons I've ever heard preached. I've never heard a sermon that... Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be... Now, it doesn't say he might have preached more than that, but Nineveh fully repented, and all he did was walk through and say, 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. But yet and still, when God didn't destroy Nineveh, he was hurt, he was upset. He didn't care about who he was preaching to. Do you care about the people that you're in church with? Do you care about the people in the world? You notice I stopped saying a whole lot of political things that I'm preaching for these people or whatever. Because you know why? You know, as you grow in God and love all men, then everybody's going to get their just due. Payday is coming.
Yes.
And when that thing comes, it comes. That day coming, whether you think it is or not, and it narrows down, and as it comes, the judgment of God is swift. And I tell you, God allows us or permits us to do that which he don't approve of. You can do a lot of things. God, that's part of what y'all, what the New Age or what the people say is your free will. But you know what that is? That's God in his predetermined knowledge allowing you to go the way that you had been destined. Because like I say, his children, everybody that Christ had given, that God had given to Christ, will be saved. But see, those people are not like Balaam. They don't take their grace, they don't take the grace of God in vain. In other words, they're laboring to enter in. They're not the kind that a lot of people sitting out there, well, you don't know, someone in the church ain't going to be saved, and they're not living the way God said live, and say Jesus died for us all. You stay away from that. That's a fool.
Hmm. that's a fool, and God's going to pay them the wages. But see, they're creating God in their own image because that's their self-will. They're being driven by their self-will. If you would realize that that's not God's word, and they're not a good example of God's word, because they're violating God's word in the very words they're speaking. They're just trying to justify their lifestyle. They're just justifying their lifestyle. They don't want to go to church, and now they're making that up. And they're speaking of a Jesus they know nothing of. They're going to have the answer to them. Let me close with this last one here from Jude. He says, what sorrow awaits them, for they follow in the footsteps of Cain, who killed his brother. Like Balaam, they deceive people for money. And like Korah, they perish in their rebellion. So everybody gets what they got coming. And this message, the only good I can see, you try to preach a message where you have this and the redemption and thing. What's in this message is to beware. To be awoken unto the Balaams of this world. To the people of this world. To the people in the churches of this world. As you say, God's in the process of cutting those out of the churches that are not obeying his word. He said, Ezekiel, they come in and listen at you, but they're not going to do what you're telling them to do. They're just coming in to hear the word of God. God said in Genesis, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for man's thoughts are continually evil. He think of evil and devise evil on his bed. And those that do these things shall not, I repeat, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those that do these things, love these things, those that love the world are not friends of God. So the minute you stop being passive about these things and start standing up for God, the minute you'll stop these things, stop wearing you down. And you'll be able to go on to bigger battles. You'll be able to fight other fights.
Praise God.
See, a lot of us living like Groundhog Day, you're fighting the same fight over and over. I don't want to fight that same fight over and over. Seen a brother the other day, Brother Bobby, in the church, and he said he passed by here sometime. He thought, that we wasn't having service. He had met one of the ministers that used to be here. And he says he don't talk like the same minister. And he don't say the same thing. He don't believe the same thing. I said, well, you come on back. We over there. You come on back by. We over there. I said, but that's the guy that I told y'all that I'd stop fooling with. That I wasn't going by him no more. This is a man that believed in holiness and had the word of God. But somehow through Balaamism, visiting other churches, doing other things, I hadn't seen him on the premises in I don't know how long. He's supposed to be part only in this. And I hadn't seen him. I hadn't heard from him. Balaamism will get you so far astray just walking out of the word of God. Listening at other people, listening at other things that people that once knew you won't know you anymore. That's just the difference is when you go to compromising and tolerating other religions and other things. God has sanctified us. In other words, your consecration is setting you apart, coming out from among them. Don't be compromised. I go to different places that he is sitting up there with fellowshipping with Jehovah's Witnesses, and I walk in this place, he up in McDonald's talking with Jehovah's Witnesses, and I go in there, and the people tell me, I say, take your literature. I don't want your literature. I don't want to hear this. And I go to preaching to him, and he's kind of amen and them, and on their side, and you the man that have introduced me to this. God will pay. Be careful. God allows. God makes things manifest. But be careful of the children of Balaam. Heavenly Father, ask